You love the Lord? Now, I will tell you that there will be some things this morning that will be repetitious from last week, but it's to set the stage of where we're at. Also want to let you know that, again, I'm not giving you this to give you a history lesson, but I'm giving you this to let you know that all through the Scriptures there is signs and there's metaphors and there is likenesses, and Jesus is speaking to His disciples, which was from Galilee, in and around Galilee, and the things that He's telling them is explaining to them concerning the marriage of the bride of Christ and Christ Himself. And so there is likenesses that you and I need to understand, and you and I need to know beyond a shadow of a doubt, so that we can be prepared and we can be ready, and we can't be caught unaware. We are living in a day and a time to where it seems like no matter what happens or what goes, we take it with a grain of salt and we move on, and we seldom do we realize and understand that it's a sign that Jesus Christ is coming soon. It's not if He's coming, it's when He's coming. And the date setting is not so as important, because we don't know the day nor the hour. That's not important. The important thing is for you to be ready. You to be prepared. So if you have your Bible, turn with me. In the book of Matthew, chapter 25, I want to begin reading verse number 10 to set the stage of this message again this morning. If you haven't got, this is the third message in this series, and try to wrap it up today. But if you haven't, you can go to the church Facebook page or the church website. The first session is an audio only. Last week is audio video, and then hopefully this one will be audio video as well. But as we look into the Scriptures and we see that things are cultivating so quickly, I have observed with all that's going on, you know, it wasn't enough for us to deal with the Corona 19 and then tragedy of the loss of this fella in, I think, in Michigan. So tragic, so unnecessary. It's one thing to demonstrate, it's another thing to riot. And it's totally ludicrous to riot and destroy property, hurt human life. It's absurd. But if you read the Scriptures, you'll find out that that's exactly what the Bible says in the last days is going to happen. And in biblical terms, it's called lawlessness. And we are seeing that it's not just the United States, it's transcended all over the world. And because the spirit of lawlessness has captivated the culture in which we live in. And it seems like that you talk to people, they are more interested in lawlessness and rioting than they are the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Oh, that's we've heard that a long time, and it's a long time off. But I'm telling you, it ain't a long time off. And even if it is a long time off, I'm going to explain to you this morning that it's those that endure to the end. It's those that hang in there. Look at your neighbor and say, "Hang in there." In Matthew chapter 25, verses number 10, as you stand for the reading of God's Word for just a second. "But while they were on their way to buy oil, the bridegroom arrived, and the virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet. And the door was shut." Somebody's saying the door was shut. "And later the others also came. 'Sir, sir,' they said, 'open the door for us.' But he replied, 'Tell you the truth, I don't know who you are. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day nor the hour.' You may be seated in the presence of the Lord." This story that we have read and been preached probably 100,000 different ways refers to the catching of the way or the rapture of the church. It is the backdrop in which Jesus speaks to His disciples. Notice the 10 virgins. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. We knew that. We've heard that all along. But 5 of them was negligent in the duration waiting for the bridegroom to come. Listen to me. God has permeated on this on my heart, and I've got to get it across to you. 5 that were foolish become so saturated with the things of this world and so intrigued by the things of this world, they did not have time to endure and waiting in the process for the bridegroom to come. It's easy. We live in a society that where everything's fast-paced and everything's instantaneously. You drive through the drive-in to get you a hamburger and a Coke, and if it's over 2 minutes, you're honking your horn and you're discombobulated because it's not going fast enough. We've got drive-through banks, and it was even funny. I had a doctor's appointment this week, and we did it over the phone. I was online with her for about maybe 5 minutes, and was still charged the same $75. And she acted like she was happy to get rid of me in 4 or 5 minutes. Nevertheless, we live in that kind of society, and so when we're adapted to that kind of society and we're adapted to that kind of generation in which we're in, we have a tendency where our patience are not very long. And isn't that what it's all about? We've got to endure. That's patience. We must be patient. We must be ready. We must be waiting. We must be anticipating. No matter how long it takes, we must anticipate that He is coming very, very soon. I can go fishing and I can fish all day long and I still maybe have not caught anything, but I am patient. I am waiting because the next cast is going to get it. I can take Sister Diane out to the river and we can fish, and in about 5 minutes, if she hadn't caught something, she's ready to go. Our culture is changing that way in the spiritual realm. If God doesn't answer us in about 5 minutes, we're ready to move on to something else. If we hadn't had a spiritual move in 5 minutes, we're ready to move on to something else. But I'm here to tell you, church, there's something about the child of God that endures to the end. It's the duration. The 5 wise virgins took extra oil with them. Their containers were full. Their cup was running over. We used to sing that song, "Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. I want you to fill it up." But we become too complacent, and we don't have time to lift our cup up and for the Lord to fill it up. But I just want you to know today, church, that extra oil is a representation of the anointing of Almighty God. Jesus Christ Himself is the Anointed One. Can I tell you that all 10 virgins were believers, but it was only the 5 that was wise that kept the Holy Spirit alive in their heart and their life. I'm here to tell you today that our spiritual lives sometimes can get depleted, but we must be quick to go back to the altar and ask God to fill our cup up. There's times in our lives that we go through circumstances and situations, perhaps physically, perhaps financially, perhaps marital, and circumstances in our lives, and we can get discouraged and we can throw in the towel. But I'm here to tell you, we don't have time to throw in the towel. We've got to get the Holy Spirit live in our heart and our life. We take so much time and spend so much time, perhaps on Facebook or perhaps on other social medias, or doing things that we want to do, doing things that appeases the flesh, and yet our spiritual man is becoming depleted of the oil that's going to take us out of this world. All 10 virgins believed, but only 5 of them had a relationship. Come on, somebody. They all 10 believed, but only 5 had a relationship. Half of them was short on oil, and half of them wasn't prepared for the duration. And I explained to you last week about when the oil gets low, when the wicks burn down, all they do is blow smoke. So I'm here to tell you, keep your lantern full, extra oil, the anointing of the Holy Ghost, and you won't just be blowing smoke. We've got to be doing everything we possibly can to encourage ourselves, to encourage each other in the Lord, knowing that that trumpet could blow at any moment, but we've got to be listening for the trumpet to sound. Can I tell you, church, above and beyond anything and everything else, when that door is shut, the door is shut, and you ain't going to have time to get your spirit man filled up. You're going to have to be ready to go up when that trumpet sounds. We must be pre-ready, pre-determined, pre-filled up with the oil. Can I tell you, beyond anything else, our job is to be prepared. Mark chapter 14, verse 39 says, "Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak." We can get so neglectful so easy. We get preoccupied with all the things that we allow in our lives, and we run out of oil. We quit reading God's Word. We quit praying like we used to. We don't have the dedication and the commitment that we used to Jesus Christ. And that love wanes for Him. He told the church at Ephesus, "You have left your first love." We allow that Spirit of God to drain from us, and so our love for Him and our love for one another wanes. It fades away. We still believe. We still know He's coming. We just don't realize how close He's coming. We still love Him. We're not out sinning, but the same Spirit ain't in us that it used to be, and we don't have enough fuel to get out of this world and to go to the wedding feast. We must understand that believing in Christ is not the same as having a relationship with Him. Our focus isn't when He is coming back, but that He is coming back. And we've got to declare that to the younger generation, the younger culture. And we've got to declare to them that regardless of what they say, regardless of what they think, Jesus Christ is coming back. We don't want to talk about it. You talk to different ones, especially in the younger generation, and they just don't want to talk about it. A large majority of preachers are not preaching on the rapture of the church. A large majority of those don't want to talk about it. They don't even believe. There's a large majority that don't even believe that Christ is coming back. But I'm here to tell you there's not enough devils in or out of hell that can stop Him. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 1 through 3 says, "Now we beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto Him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by the letter as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand." Much more, as Paul wrote this letter to the church of Thessalonica, so it is much more pertinent for you and I today to allow our spiritual man to wake up and to realize that His coming is so close. All around about us is the signs of His coming. "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there coming a falling away first. And the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." That's the Antichrist. Those things are going to transpire, but there's coming a falling away first. Perhaps for the reason of the falling away, as I mentioned to you last week, we've heard it, and we've kind of shrugged it off and pushed it out of the way. But 82% don't even believe He is coming. 85% of the people don't believe in the core values of this Word anymore. Okay, now let's go. I mean, he's ready to get ready for the wedding. Revelation chapter 3, verse number 7 said, "I know your works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut. shut it. And for thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. Sister Lisa, thank you so much. Can you go back to verse 7? I appreciate Lisa and Caleb taking care of our media upstairs. But I want to stop and slow down for just a minute and let you listen to this. Christ, through John the Revelator, is speaking to the church of Philadelphia. It says, to the angel of the church of Philadelphia, write these things, saith he that is holy. How many knows that he is holy? He that is true, and he that hath the key of David. The key of David represents the anointing of God that God put on David to be the king of Israel. And it was a special anointing. Even though David made his mistakes and made his blunders and he sinned against God, he had a reputation that he had a love for God, and he was quick to repent of his sins. And he reached out to God in those things, and he said, I have the key of David. And with Christ having the key of David, God give it to David. David transcended it, and he used it for the glory of God in the city of Israel and Jerusalem. And now Jesus Christ has that key, and that key that he has is the anointing, and he has openeth it, and no man shut, and shutteth it, and no man openeth it. Verse number 8. And I know thy works. He's telling the church at Philadelphia, I know your works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. He has given you an opportunity for the anointing, the key of David. He is giving you an opportunity to receive the anointing, the key of David. And no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength. Let me stop and ask you a question. How many of you have felt like you have gone the last mile of the way? You have been exhausted. You have been overwhelmed. You feel like that if there's one more thing that crops up in your life, you're ready to throw in the towel. You cannot handle no more. Come on, somebody be honest with me. You have just felt overwhelmed and exhausted. God says, I know your strength. I know you have little strength left. Can I tell you, the enemy is trying to wear you down and trying to wear you out, trying to get you sidetracked, trying to keep the oil, the anointing out of your life. But Jesus said already, I have the key of David. I have the anointing that I will give to you. I have the authority that I have give to you. He's told us that we can tread on serpents. If we drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm us. He doesn't mean to go out and try God and see if God works. It's if we do it by accident, God will keep us. He will protect us. You have the anointing. He's given you the key of David. You are worn out. You are pooped. You're tired. That's Arkansas and Oklahoma language. Exhausted. How many remember Steve Urkel? Yeah. Somebody's saying, oh, Jesus. Laura, his girlfriend, he just kept after her and kept after her and kept after her. Had his pants pulled up around his Adam's apple. He tells Laura, I'm just wearing you down. I'm just wearing you down. Well, I'm here to tell you today, Satan's trying to wear you down. Listen to me, church. Listen to me. Satan's trying to wear you down. He don't want you to have extra oil to take with you. He wants to totally wear you out. He wants to get you so sidetracked that you're more interested in everything else than you are the things of God. He is wearing you out. Verse 8, I know you have little strength, but you have kept my word. You have kept my word, and you have not denied my name. Verse 9, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say that they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and know that I have loved thee. It's not that they come to worship us, but they come to worship the Savior, because though they know that you have endured, they know that you've got the goods. I'm here to tell you that those that profess, back it up just a little bit, Sister Lisa, those that profess, it's not just the Jews, but those that profess that they believe in Jesus Christ, and they do not have the goods, they have not the anointed, they don't have enough oil to keep them through, they will come to you and say, listen, I've got to have more of Christ in my heart and my life. You have endured, you have lived the life, you've got the anointing of God in your life. Somebody ought to shout amen right there. I'm here to tell you there's people in our world today, there's people in our church today that's hurting, they're spiritually sick, that needs somebody that has kept the goods. They're not ashamed of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and they have kept the goods, and those are going to come to them and say, listen, I know you've got the goods, and I need you to help me get out of the mullet grubs and get some strength and live for Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Verse number 10. Thank you. Because thou hast kept the word of my... What did I say about patience a while ago? I have kept the word of my patience. I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, when the Antichrist will take his throne in this world. God said, I'm going to keep you from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to them that dwell upon the earth. Verse number 11. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. I know thy works. Can I tell you today, church, it's getting more and more evident that people are getting weary. They have little strength as they hold on to the Word of God without wavering, while those around them shrug the message of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They shrug it off, for they see no sense of urgency. But I'm here to tell you today, if you've ever had any urgency before, you don't have to worry, you don't have to fear. Just get your anointing oil filled up in your cup and ready to endure. For the Bible says that if the good man of the house would have known the hour that the thief had come, he would have watched. He would have watched and he would have prayed. You can find that in Matthew chapter 24. Therefore, be also ready, for in an hour when you think not, the Son of Man cometh. We've got to be ready. We've got to endure. Only the Father knows the day nor the hour, the time. Matthew 24 and 36. But the day and the hour knoweth no man, know not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Just as we, as the groom of Galilee waited patiently for the Father to tell him that it is time to go get your bride. In Judea of Galilee, the groom waited patiently. Only the Father there in Galilee, only the Father knew when it was ready and it was time for the groom to go get his bride. So is Jesus waiting on His Father to give Him the okay to go get His bride. Because things are now ready. Things are now ready. It's time. As the groom gets the room ready and gathers enough food for several people over the next several days, as the groom anticipates his Father's response to go get the bride. Now, I give you the back set of where we are in our world today. Now, I'm taking you back to Galilee. Get in your mind the picture there in Galilee as the bride is in her chambers with her bridesmaid, and they have made themselves ready. Everything is prepared. Everything is ready. They're ready to endure. They're just waiting for the call, waiting for the trumpet to sound, waiting for the herald message of the coming of the groom. And as the groom has prepared and got the room ready on his Father's house and gathered enough food for several people over the next several days, can you imagine the excitement? Can you imagine the excitement? No. Can you imagine the excitement? Some of you have been married so long you forgot the excitement. I got to take these off so I can see your face. You have forgotten the excitement when you went and got your bride, or you seen your bride walking down the aisle. Some of you are grinning like a possum eating persimmons. When you seen your bride walking down the aisle and your palms started getting sweaty and your heart started beating so fast you thought it's going to beat out of your chest. Can I tell you, the groom fell asleep in the middle of the night anticipating. He thought everything was ready. He thought it was time to go get his bride. But he knew that it was only when Daddy said it was time. Only Daddy said it was time. Can you imagine the excitement as the groom looked over all the events of the last month? Hear it. Are you ready? What if that just happened to be the trumpet from the portals of glory? That doesn't make the hair stand up on the back of your neck. You need to check your oil and your lamps. He's coming, church. He's coming. The anticipation when the groom knew that it was about time for Daddy. Can you imagine the excitement as the groom looked over at the events of the last several months? The room and the furnishings was all ready. They was all in place, and the groceries had been spread out on the banqueting table. His heart was beating out of his chest, and the eagerness and the anxiety to go get his bride. The atmosphere must have been overwhelming in the house of the groom as he waited for the father's nod. Are you excited? I just wonder, if you're not excited, you better check your cup. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 25, verse number 6, at midnight the cry went out. Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him. Now, I don't know if it's going to happen at the midnight or just a warning that so many people will be taken by surprise if it does happen in the middle of the night or whenever it happens. Whichever, it should wake us up. It's in the early morning, the evening, the midnight hour. Early before the daybreak, we must be ready to go in to meet the bridegroom. Ready to get up, no matter the hour or the day. Watch this. Luke chapter 21, verse 36. Watch ye therefore, and pray always that ye be not counted worthy to escape all those things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Let me read that again. Watch ye therefore, and pray always that ye may be counted worthy to escape those things that shall come to pass before the Son of Man. Let me ask you again. Has your belief in Jesus brought you to the faith of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Is there a relationship? Or do you just believe? Young and old alike, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how old you are. He is coming back. And He has already given you a heads up warning. Told you why of being ready at any moment of any hour is so important. Can I tell you, there's not a one of us in this sanctuary has an excuse. While others may be sleeping, we must have our wedding garment on, ready at any moment. He's coming after His bride, for she has made herself ready. She has made the preparations and she has endured. She has made sure there is no spot or blemish on her wedding garment. And that her spiritual lamp is trimmed and burning bright. And that there is enough oil for the duration. Again, perhaps the middle of the night, the bride and her bridesmaids are sleeping and the groom and his men are sleeping. And the father wakes up and goes to his son and shakes him and says, "Son, it's time. It's time. It's going to happen, church. I believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ, the Redeemer of mankind, is continually looking over at his father saying, 'Daddy, is it time? Daddy, is it time? Son, go get your bride.'" Can you imagine the excitement, the anticipation of that moment over the year? And now the time has come, and the groom rises quickly, grabs his shofar as he exits the door, putting the ram's horn to his lips and blowing with all of his might so that all the town can hear, especially his bride is tuned in. His bride is tuned in. When she hears the shofar, and she will, because she has been listening. I'm here to tell you that God's people are going to be listening. They are listening. She rises to the floor with her bridesmaid and executes her preparedness. Rushes out of the house to meet her groom. And as the groom and his dad and groomsmen parades down the street, they bring a cart for the bride to ride in. This is in the culture of the Canaanite wedding. Listen closely. When Jesus was telling his disciples these things, they knew exactly what he was talking about. Are you ready? When they come to the door, the two groomsmen brings a cart for the bride to ride in, I wanted to find a picture, but I couldn't find one really like I wanted to. But you all have seen heads of states a long time ago. They would ride in these carriages carried by two men or four men on poles, and a chair sitting in the middle. Y'all seen that? Okay, that's called a litter. Not a litter of pups, but a litter, L-I-T-T-E-R, that's what it's called, okay? And the groom and his bride, or his groomsman, would bring that cart, and they would set it down in front of the bride's door. And the bride would crawl in that chair, and the groomsman would lift her up and carry her to the father's house. Are you hearing me? Somebody ain't listening. A sign. As she sat down and the groomsman picked her up and carried her to daddy's house. In the Galilean wedding, this was literally known as flying the groom to the father's, or flying the bride to the father's house. Somebody ain't listening to me. This is all about us understanding the metaphor, the likenesses of the Galilean wedding to what's fixing to take place. Listen, I ain't through yet. I'm just fixing to get started. When she sat down in that litter and they picked her up, and it was known as flying the bride to the father's house. Listen, she is lifted off of the ground. Somebody say glory. She ain't getting there by her own efforts. It's by the father's grace that has prepared the litter that would carry her. Glory, hallelujah. That would carry her by the Father's grace. All she had to do was to be ready. All she had to do was to be ready. Revelations 19, 7 and 8 says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife hath made herself ready." "And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen and clean and white, For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. You remember when Jesus told His disciples that I'm going to prepare a place for you, and where I am, there you may be also. He's not coming to live with you. This is not His kingdom. His kingdom is to come. He said, I'm coming to get you to live with Me in My Father's house. And when those that were ready come into the house and the door was shut, no one comes in and no one goes out, for the banqueting table is prepared and the marriage celebration has begun, and forever we shall be with Him. I don't understand why we ain't excited this morning. We're fixing to get raptured out of here. You all might think I'm crazy, and I may very well be. Okay? And some of you is going to laugh. And the reason you're going to laugh, because it ain't relevant in your home. But it doesn't matter how long I'm gone. When I get home, I'm excited to see my bride. I can't wait to get home. There's times I break the speed limit to get home when I've been gone very long. Some of you are looking at me like, yep, you're crazy. This coming July, we've been married 46 years, and we're still on our honeymoon. And I've just warned her, when the honeymoon's over, she better be ready, because it's going to get rough. But until the honeymoon's over, I can't wait to get home to see her. Some of you, it's been so long to anticipate to get home to your bride, you forgot. But I want to remind you today that if you ain't excited about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords coming back after you, you better do some examination, because He's coming soon. He's coming very soon. I want you to just think about for a moment what I've tried to express to you the last few weeks that I preached this message. The excitement. It was a year at least before the groom got everything ready, built her house, built the furniture, bought everything, got the marriage supper of the Lamb, got it all ready to go, and now they've been invited to come in and the door was shut. Can I tell you, church, that the marriage supper of the Lamb is fixing to take place? I believe with all of my heart that the table is prepared and it's ready, and it's about ready for you and I to come and dine. Let me give you another analogy. And I think I told you before, but I want to tell you again. You know why? You know why the devil hates you so bad as the bride of Christ? You know why, when you're blood bought by the blood of Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ is applied to your heart and your life, you know why the devil hates you so, and why he hates marriages, and why that over 50% of them end up divorced, even in the church world today? It's because every time somebody says, I do, until death do us part, it reminds Satan of the union of Jesus Christ and the bride that He's coming back after. In short, can I tell you, church, we need to lift our hands and rejoice, because Jesus Christ is coming soon. Chris, would you go ahead and come to the piano, please? 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7. The end of all things is near. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded, in self-control, so that you can pray. You can find that in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. The end of all things is near. Be clear-minded, in self-control, so that you can pray. Listen, church today, don't be weary. Don't faint in the running. It's almost over. Run the race that is set before you with patience. I don't know if you've heard the words as I preach this message on endurance and patience. This thing's almost over. And can I tell you, no matter what, it's going to be worth it to hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, no matter the cost. Can I tell you the reason that Jesus Christ is coming back? He's coming back after His church, but He's coming back to prove He is who He says He is. And His Word is true. He is faithful. Would you stand with me all over the building today? I just want to ask you, while we stand here for just a moment, eyes closed, no one looking around. If Jesus doesn't come for another 50, 100 years, you've probably got plenty of time. But if Jesus comes within the next hour, just as sure by the look on your all's face, Sister Diane played the shofar on her phone. When you hear that shofar from the portals of glory sound, are you going to be dumbfounded? Are you going to be at loss? Are you going to have enough oil to take you through? So I ask you today for just a moment, is there one under the sound of my voice, you'd lift your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. I don't know if I got enough oil to endure. God bless these hands. Is there others? You're just honest to everything within you. Lord, I just don't know if I got enough oil to endure. Hold that thought for just a moment. But is there one here today you would say, Pastor, I'm not ready at all. I'm as lost as a goose. And there ain't no hope for me. I need Jesus to be my Savior. Would you lift your hand right quick and right up and right that back down? Okay, let me ask you this. You believe, but I want to ask you, what kind of relationship do you have with Jesus? Do you have enough oil? I want to tell you that right now, we can call upon Jesus Christ, and the anointing of the power of God can come into your life and fill your cup to running over. Would you just, right where you're at, just cry out to Jesus? Heavenly Father, I want to make sure that the anointing, the Holy Ghost, is in my heart and my life, and that I have what it takes to endure to the end. I have what it takes to hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. If there are those you want to slip out of your seat and come and stand around the altar, I want you to feel at liberty to do so. But more importantly of all, make sure that your cup's running over. Make sure that the anointing of of God's Spirit is in your life and you've got enough. See you through.
Coming soon, and the whole
hallelujah.
Will
Heavenly Father, we come to you right now, Lord Jesus, and we ask you, Almighty God. Lord, there are those, Lord, that lifted their hands, Lord, and they are earnestly seeking, O God, and want to make sure that they have enough to endure, and they have enough, O God, to get them through, Lord, as we wait for your return and we wait for your coming. Lord, I love you. I appreciate you, Jesus. Precious Heavenly Father, we ask you, O God, that you will release a double portion of anointing upon the hearts and minds of your people. I pray, O God, that those, Lord, that are nonchalant about these things, O God, that you'll help them to see the urgency. Create a hunger within inside of them, Lord, that there's nothing in this world more important than you.
Coming soon, Jesus.
Lord, I love you. I appreciate you, and I thank you, Almighty God. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive praise and glory and honor. Hallelujah. How many lift your hands and give God praise and glory, thanking for His Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I know, precious Jesus, that you're coming soon. You're coming soon. You're coming soon.
Oh, be ready.
Lord, I praise you, Almighty.